This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else. Hello and welcome to Noise Box. I'm your host, Derek Howard. Noise Box can be found at noisebox.com. Box is spelled with two X's. Noise Box is part of the Deliberate Noise Network. For more details, go to deliberatenoise.com. If you'd like to send feedback, you can email me. My email address is Derek, D-E-R-E-K, at deliberatenoise.com, or you can call the audio comment line at 734-331-0772. This episode is part of the Dog Days of Podcasting Challenge to see if you can podcast for 30 straight days. I think I'm in really good shape to complete this challenge. If you'd like more details, links to all the shows that are taking part of the challenge this year, as well as a master feed of everything, go to dogdaysofpodcasting.com. There's also a Facebook group, as well as something on Google Plus, but I have not been able to find it. There's like a Dog Days of Podcasting profile, but nothing is being shared on it. So, I don't know. I'm probably looking in the wrong spot. Anyway, before the challenge, I put forth some questions. I put forth a request for questions, jeez. And I got a bunch of them. But then I noticed, hey, I'm going to run out pretty soon. So, I put in for a second batch. And this is, like, I think the first one from the second batch. And I believe it's also from my good friend Ed Moore, host of the Lords of Order podcast, amongst others. Remember, you may not remember, but I remember. Last week I kept saying that, you know, there's one more that he does. There's one more, and I could not remember it. And then over the weekend I remembered it was Lords of Order, which is about the superhero Dr. Fate. Anyway, he puts this question to me. You can choose anyone from time and space to have a nice sit-down dinner. Who and why? My first gut is easy, especially this time of year. And that'd be my dad. My dad died a few years ago. And I would love to just sit down and have one more meal with him, you know? No matter how old you get, no matter what kind of relationship you had with your parents, when they're gone, there's a hole in your life, you know? So I'd want to sit down with him, talk about the kids, what they've been up to. Talk about my granddaughter, his great-granddaughter. He never got to meet, you know? So yeah, that was my first reaction. Especially this time of year because his birthday was 2 days ago. You know, it's let's see, the 14th is the wedding anniversary of two of my best friends, Sean and Denise. 15th is the anniversary of the founding of the Deliberate Noise Network. Actually, the anniversary of my first podcast. I just have to fluff it up to be something bigger. The 16th is my father's birthday, and the 17th is my son's birthday. So what will the 18th bring? Anyway, So then I thought, it's a shame he didn't say all of reality too, because I don't know if I ever mentioned this, but I'm one of those people who believes in like alternate realities, and I'd pick Batman, because there's somewhere out there, there's a real Batman, you know? Thank you, lady who just decides. I'm trying to turn, and there's this other dude trying to turn. I'm trying to turn right, this other dude's trying to turn left. He can't go until I go. I can't go until this pedestrian goes. And she's just slowing down, listening to her music, just bebopping along, and I'm just like, ugh, holy shit. Anyway, I know. Somewhere Dave Slusher is saying to himself, nobody cares what happens in your car. Nobody outside of your car cares what's going on inside of your car. All right, so then I started thinking, there's only pretty much two other people I'd want to talk to. One would be me at 15. Not 16. 16 was when I was in. 15. 15 was different, you know. I tell myself that all the shit that I think is important at 15 is nothing compared to the shit that I think that's important when I'm 16. And is nothing and is shit that I think is important at 17, and so on and so forth. Until, I don't know. You know, till you just get to a point where it's just like, none of this shit is really fucking important. You know? We think it is, but is it really? You know? That's why the other person I'd want to talk to would be me right before I die. You know, I'd want to ask myself, was it worth it? Everything I've done in my life up until that point, was it worth it? You know, I'd want to know, is there anything that he wished that he had done when he was younger? Is there anything he wished he hadn't done? You know, are there friends out there that I could have helped but didn't? Are there friends out there that I shouldn't have helped but I did? And I wouldn't want to know stupid shit like, hey, who wins the Super Bowl for the next however many years? And, you know, what's a good stock that's just going to explode? Because that's just money. Who gives a fuck about money? Money is just there to make your life easier. And a lot of people just... I remember a long time ago reading something was... Or shit, I might have been listening to Slusher. Somebody really smart said that one of the problems with people today is that they mistake what they do with who they are. You know, there's nothing wrong with having a good work ethic, but when work is the only way that you define yourself, then, you know, you're missing out on a whole lot more. When I was younger, I was one of those guys who was loyal to the company. You know, I was a real company man. That lasted until the very first time I was laid off. No. I take that back. First time I was laid off, I bought into the company line. You know, this company laid me off, but it's just because of the economy. You know, the economy made a downturn, so they had to do something. And if it wasn't me, If I wasn't sacrificed, then who knows? The whole company could have gone crashing down. And I believe that shit. Till the next job I got. This was for a company who had never had layoffs. And their 53-year history, not once did they have a layoff. And then last year I was there, say the last 2 years I was there, they had 3 rounds of layoffs. And you know what's really funny? They brought in a Plant Moran, that consulting company. And soon after that, they had the first round of layoffs. And then the owner, and the owner sat down and told us that, and you want to talk about somebody not getting the point. He sat down and he told us, this was probably, he couldn't promise, but I'm sorry. This was after the second round of layoffs. He sat down and told us there weren't going to be any more layoffs. That's what he said. He said, there aren't going to be any more layoffs. And then he said, he turned and he looked us in the face. He sat down and had this meeting with us. And he told us not to worry because he had, I think he said, I have like $5 million or $6 million in the bank to keep the company afloat. And I remember thinking to myself, why are you telling us this shit? I didn't say anything. I kept my poker face going, but I was like, and you're telling us how much money you have while a lot of my friends and coworkers are have lost their income. You're telling me this. Why now? You know, why should I care how much money you have in the bank? He totally misread his audience. Just totally misread his audience. And, yeah, a couple months later, I got laid off. You know? And when you get laid off, there's always, you know, people start talking about survivor's guilt. And I didn't really feel survivor's guilt. If anything, I felt survivor's resentment. I felt very strong resentment towards the owner and the company because they brought in this whole company to, you know, Plant Moran, who they're probably really good at what they do. They brought in Plant Moran to help restructure the whole company. And that's exactly what they did. They said, hey, you need to get rid of these people, get rid of these people, get rid of these people. But everybody who worked there knew where the biggest money suck was coming from. You know? But it was one of the owner's pet projects. So it was, you know, it was hands off. It was off limits. You could, they made absolutely no changes to that when it was a big waste of money. You know, there's economic downturn, and what this side project was totally irrelevant. Totally. Not only was it totally irrelevant and a money suck, but it wasn't bringing anything in. Well, it was, part of what I had to do was send out mailings, right? And we sent out a couple of thousand pieces of mail to, you know, for this thing. And we sent it out and they got zero return. They got zero responses. Do you know how bad of a product you'd have to be to get zero? Because what most people don't know is when you send out a bulk mailing like we used to do, the big thing was is that you usually get 5% response. Okay, that's it. That's just the number I've always heard. 5%. okay? If you send out 100, you're going to get 5 people. That is 5%, right? Yeah. You're going to get 5 people saying, oh, yeah, I'm interested in this, right? That's just how it goes. If you are really successful, you'll get 10%. We once had a mailing we sent out, and it was, this was right before the whole housing bubble crashed. I'm not going to say what it was for, but just, yeah, there's a little hint there. And it was a very small mailing. It was only like 1,000 pieces. And they got, out of 1,000 pieces, they got something like 400 responses. Okay? That is amazing return. Okay? And then suddenly they got 0. Absolutely no one responded. No one at all. Anyway, so that made me realize that companies don't care about people. This is why whenever somebody starts talking about on TV about, you know, a workplace comedy or drama, like, oh, we're family, we love each other, I'm thinking, no, you fucking don't. You're a company. You're coworkers. You may like each other. You don't love each other. Get over it. So, goddamn, I hate that shit. Ugh. And so now I take a very... Well, no, they're, and Michigan is an at-will state, which means that the company can fire you without cause. They can just get rid of you. Say, we don't want you coming back. I have no problem with that. But what most people forget is that it goes both ways. 2 weeks' notice is a courtesy, but it is not law. You don't have to give 2 weeks' notice, because they wouldn't give you 2 weeks' notice if they want to fire you. You know? Now I take a very mercenary look at employment. You know, it is, you know, it's not just about the money. No, it's all about the money. Okay? However much I can put in my pocket by the end of the day, it determines where I go to work. But I want to know if older Derek still feels the same way, you know? And on top of that, I'm curious. I don't want to know the future, but if I know it's me, I want to, you know, just before I die, I just want to know if I'm going to have that Adam Warlock moment. And for those of you who don't know, Adam Warlock is a comic book character. And when he got his own book, was it his own book? Well, it went like this, right? He found out that there was this bad guy called the Magus, right? Or Magus, I don't know how to pronounce it. Who was in charge of this church that was going around pretty much killing people. If you didn't follow what they said, they killed you. And he was the, you know, and this Magus was the leader. Well, he faced the Magus and found out that it was him. You know, something happens in the future to pretty much warp his soul. Now, Adam Warlock has a soul gem, which takes people's souls, leaving them like husks, basically. And so he realizes that the only way to stop himself from becoming a Magi, Magus, sorry, whatever is Latin for warlock or magician, okay? Because warlock, magician, Magi, whatever, Magus, whatever. So he goes into his future, and he sees himself, and he's broken, he's bleeding, he's lying in rubble, and he says, oh, I remember this day, you know, I guess the end is finally here. And the one that we've been following is like, basically like, what happened to you, you know, or something along those lines. And he goes, I have lost everything. You know, I have lost everything that's ever meant anything to me. You know, just really depressing view. And so he was just like, oh my God, you know, the one we've been following goes, so in all these years, this is what happens. And the one in the future goes, years, you fool, it's only been months. You know, and that just, you know, the reader gets blown away. It's like, wow, Adam Warlock gets reduced to this in months. And although I think in our world, it actually did take years, But that's just because it's a serialized monthly story, you know? But I don't, you know, I kind of want to do that, right? I want to have a dinner with myself right before I die, but I don't want him to only be like 47 in a couple of months, you know, because I'm 47 now, and if he's 47 and a couple of months, then that kind of puts a different perspective on whether or not I take my blood pressure medicine and what kind of exercise I do and what kind of food I eat. Because if I know I only got a couple of months, it's steak every day for daddy. Anyway, yeah, you know, I just realized I just rambled a lot. But when you think about stuff like that, I don't know if that's who you, if that's the kind of stuff that Ed was looking for. I know a lot of people would think of some celebrity, but I don't care about celebrity. You know, I've had dinner with Dave Slusher and Mike Myers. I'd want to have a sit down dinner with David Price because I haven't met him. I wouldn't say Ed Moore because he said one person, and if I sat down with Ed Moore, I'd also want to sit down with his wife Terry, and that's two people, you know. But yeah, I don't know. I'd be looking for some sort of happiness. Except if, you know, I ate dinner with that man. Either I'm letting my younger self know that I will be happy, or I'd want verification from my older self that I died happy. Or I'd want to talk to my dad just to be happy. Yeah, there you go. Happiness. I guess that's really what it's all about. That not working so damn hard. Anyway, take it easy.